good drawings. I especially like the one of Iron Man. This one,
she added, and posed as if in flight, with one arm out, hand-fisted. Now those furious eyes tracked to hers. Instinctively, she cringed back as her wrist throbbed with phantom pain. He saw her cover her braced wrist with her hand and remembered about her father. Anybody would be scared if their own father broke something on them. So he made himself shrug like he didn't care. But maybe he was a little impressed she even knew who Iron Man was.
It's okay. That was just practice. I can do better.
The one of Spider-Man and Doc Ock's really cool, too.
Okay, more than a little impressed. None of Maya's other girl dopes knew Doc Ock from the Green Goblin.
Yeah, I guess.
Considering that enough conversation with a girl, he sneered at his sister.
Keep out.
So saying, he went in, shut the door. Maya smiled her sunny smile.
See? Poop brain.
Taking Adrian's hand, she skipped down to her room to get tea party supplies. That night before bedtime, Adrian got some paper and a pencil to try to draw her favorite superhero, Black Widow. Everything she drew looked like blobs connected to lines, or more blobs. Sadly, she went back to her standard, a house, trees, flowers, and a big round sun. Even that wasn't very good. None of her drawings were, even though Nana always put one on the refrigerator. She wasn't good at drawing. She wasn't really good at cooking and baking, even though Nana and Poppy said she learned fast. What was she good at? To comfort herself, she did yoga, even though she had to be careful not to put too much weight on her wrist. When she finished the nightly ritual, she brushed her teeth, then put on her pajamas. She started to go out to tell her grandfather she was ready for bed. Her grandmother had the shift at Rizzo's, when he tapped on her open door.
Look at my girl, all clean and shiny and ready for bed. And look at this,
he continued when he saw her drawing.
This has to go in our art gallery.
It's a baby drawing.
Art's in the eye of the beholder, and I like it.
Maya's brother, Raylan, can really draw.
That he can. He's very talented.
He glanced at her and her sulky face.
But I've never seen him walk on his hands.
I'm not really supposed to do that yet.
But you will again.
He kissed the top of her head, then nudged her toward the bed.
Let's get you and Barclay tucked in so we can read another chapter of Matilda. My girl reads better than most teenagers.
Adrian snuggled in with her stuffed dog.
Active mind, active body.
When Dom laughed and sat on the bed beside her with the book, she curled up against him. He smelled of the grass he'd mowed before dinner.
Do you think Mom misses me?
Sure she does. Doesn't she call every week to talk to you? To see how you're doing? What you're doing?
I wish she'd call more, Adrian thought. But she doesn't ask so much what I'm doing.
I think tomorrow I'll teach you how to make pasta. Then you can teach me something.
What?
One of those routines you make up.
He tapped her nose.
Active mind, active body.
The idea delighted.
Okay, I can make up a new one for you.
Not too hard. I'm new at this. For now, read me a story.
When Adrian looked back on that summer, she realized it had been idyllic. A pause in reality, responsibility, and routine she'd never fully know again. Long, hot, sunny days with lemonade on the porch, the cheer of dogs in the yard, the thrill of a sudden thunderstorm where the air turned silver and the trees swayed and danced. She had friends to play with, to laugh with. She had healthy, energetic, attentive grandparents who made her, for that brief moment of time, the center of their world. She learned good kitchen skills, and some would stay with her for the rest of her life. She discovered the fun in picking fresh herbs and vegetables that grew right outside in the yard, and how her grandmother smiled when her grandfather brought in a handful of wildflowers for her. That summer, she learned what family and community really meant. She'd never forget it, and would often yearn for it. But the days passed. A parade and fireworks on the 4th of July. A hot, humid night of colored lights and whirling sounds when the carnival came to town. Catching and releasing fireflies, watching hummingbirds, eating a cherry popsicle on the big wraparound porch on a day so still she could hear the creek bubble. Then everyone talked about back-to-school clothes and supplies. Her friends buzzed about what teacher they'd have and showed off new backpacks and binders. And summer, despite the heat, the light, the long days, rushed to an end. She tried and failed not to cry when her grandmother helped her pack.
"Oh, now my baby,"
Sophia drew her into a hug.
"You're not leaving forever. You'll come back to visit."
"It's not the same."
"But it'll be special. You know you've missed your mama and Mimi."
"But now I'm going to miss you and Poppy and Maya and Cassie and Ms. Wells. How come I always have to miss somebody?"
"It's hard, I know. Because Poppy and I are going to miss you."
"I wish we could live here."
She could live in this big house, with this pretty room where she could walk right out on the porch and see the dogs, the gardens, the mountains.
"I wouldn't have to miss anybody if we could live here."
After a quick rub on Adrian's back, Sophia stepped away to lay a pair of jeans in the suitcase.
"This isn't your mom's home, my baby."
"It was. She was born right here and went to school here and everything."
"But it's not her home now. Everybody has to find their own home."
"What if I want this to be mine? How come I can't have what I want?"
Sophia looked at that sweet, mutinous face, and her heart cracked a little. She sounded so like her mother.
"When you're old enough, you might want this to be home. Or you might want New York, or someplace else. And you'll decide."
"Kids don't get to decide anything."
"That's why the people who love them do their best to make good decisions for them until they're ready to make their own. Your mama does her best, Adrian. I promise you she does her best."
"If you said I could live here, she might say yes."
Sophia felt the crack in her heart widen.
"That wouldn't be the right thing for you or your mama."
She sat on the side of the bed, took Adrian's tearful face in her hands.
"You need each other."
"Now wait," she said when Adrian shook her head.
"Do you believe I always tell you the truth?"
"Yes, I guess. Yes."
"I'm telling you the truth now. You need each other. It might not feel like it right now when you're sad and you're angry, but you do."
"Don't you and Poppy need me?"
"Oh, boy, do we."
She pulled Adrian in for a fierce hug.
"Joya mia. That's why you're going to write us letters. And we're going to write you back."
"Letters? I never wrote one."
"Now you will. In fact, I'm going to give you some pretty stationery to get you started. I've got some in my desk, and I'll get it. We'll pack it up for you."
"And you'll write letters just to me?"
"Just to you. And once a week, for sure, you're going to call, and we'll talk."
"Promise?"
"Pinky swear."
Sophia locked a finger with Adrian's and made her smile. She didn't cry when the car drove up, a big, shiny black limo, but she clung to her grandfather's hand. He gave hers a squeeze.
"Look at that fancy car. Aren't you going to have fun riding in style? Go on now."
He gave her hand another squeeze.
"Go give your mom a hug."
The driver wore a suit and tie and got out first to open the door. Her mother slid out. She had on pretty silver sandals, and Adrian saw that her toes were painted bright pink to match her shirt. Mimi got out the other side, her face all smiles even though her eyes glistened. Even at not quite 8, Adrian knew it was wrong to want to run to Mimi first. So she walked across the lawn to her mother. Lena bent down for the hug.
I think you're taller.
As she straightened, Lena ran a hand down Adrian's curly ponytail, and her eyebrows drew together the way they did when she didn't like something.
You definitely got a lot of sun.
I wore sunscreen. Poppy and Nana made sure.
Good. That's good.
Where's mine? Mimi threw out her arms. This time Adrian did run.
Oh, I missed you.
She lifted Adrian off her feet, kissed her cheeks, hugged harder.
You got taller and you're all golden and you smell like sunshine.
Everybody hugged, but Lena said they couldn't stay for food and drink.
We flew in from Chicago. It already feels like a long day and I have an interview on the Today Show in the morning. Thank you so much for looking after Adrian.
She's nothing but a pleasure.
Sophia took both of Adrian's hands, kissed them.
An absolute pleasure. I'm going to miss your pretty face.
Nana.
Adrian flung her arms around her. Dom hauled her up, gave her a swing, then a cuddle.
Be good for your mom.
He kissed the side of her neck, then set her back on her feet. She had to hug Tom and Jerry and cry a little with her face buried in fur. Come on, Adrian. It's not like you're never going to see them again. It'll be summer again before you know it.
You could come for Christmas, Sophia said.
We'll see how it goes.
She kissed her mother's cheek, then her father's.
Thank you.
It took a lot of stress off knowing she was away from everything. I'm sorry I can't stay longer, but I have to be in the studio by 6 in the morning.
She glanced back to where Mimi already had Adrian in the limo and was trying to distract her by showing her how the lights worked.
This was good for her. Good for everybody.
Come for Christmas,
Sophia gripped her daughter's hand.
Or Thanksgiving.
I'll try. Take care now.
She got in, closed the door. Ignoring her mother's orders to put on her seatbelt, Adrian knelt on the back seat so she could look through the rear window of the big car, see her grandparents waving goodbye as they stood in front of the big stone house with the dogs at their feet.
Adrian, sit down now so Mimi can buckle you in.
Even as she spoke and the limo slid under the covered bridge, Lena's cell phone rang. She glanced at the display.
I need to take this.
She shifted down to the far side of the bench seat.
This is Lena. Hello, Meredith.
We've got fizzy water and juice,
Mimi spoke brightly as she buckled Adrian's seatbelt.
And some berries, and those veggie chips you like.
We'll have a car picnic.
That's okay.
Adrian unzipped the little crossbody bag her grandparents had bought her and took out her Game Boy.
I'm not hungry.
New York City. From that long-ago summer, Adrian developed the habit of writing letters. She called her grandparents at least once a week, shot off the occasional email or text, but the weekly letter became a tradition. Taking advantage of a warm and breezy September morning, she sat outside on the rooftop terrace of her mother's Upper East Side triplex to write about her first week of the school year. She could have typed it out on her computer and mailed it, but that felt no different from email to her. It was, she thought, the act of writing that made letters personal. She texted, and often with Maya, and even sent an occasional handwritten card. She no longer had a nanny. Mimi had fallen in love with Isaac, gotten married, and had 2 kids of her own. Besides, Adrian would be 17 in 6 weeks. Mimi worked for Lena still, but as an administrative assistant, helping schedule appointments, working with Harry to line up interviews and events. Her mother's career had skyrocketed with books and DVDs, fitness events, motivational speeches, TV appearances. She'd played herself on an episode of Law & Order SVU. The yoga baby brand shined sterling. The flagship Everfit gym in Manhattan had franchises all over the country. Its fitness wear line, its health food line, its essential oils, candles,
lotions, its branding on gym equipment had, over slightly more than a decade, turned what had been a one-woman operation into a billion-dollar national enterprise. Yoga Baby financed camps for underprivileged kids and donated heavily to women's shelters, so Adrian couldn't claim her mother didn't give back. But most days after school, Adrian came home to an empty apartment. She'd joked with Maya that she had a closer relationship with the doorman than her mother. Their closest contact, essentially, Adrian thought, came during the weeks they worked together on their annual mother-daughter exercise DVD. But that was her life, and she'd already decided what to do with the rest of it when she could make her own choices. She'd already made one of her first, and sat now in the warm breeze waiting for the hammer to drop. It didn't take long. She heard the glass doors behind her slide open, hit the stops with a solid thump. "Adrian, for Christ's sake, what are you doing? You haven't begun to pack. We're leaving in an hour."
"You're leaving in an hour," Adrian corrected, and kept writing. "I don't have to pack because I'm not going."
"Don't be such a child. I've got a full schedule in LA tomorrow. Get packed." Adrian set her pen down, shifted in her chair to meet her mother's eyes.
"No, I'm not going. I'm not letting you haul me around the country for the next 2.5 weeks. I'm not going to live in hotel rooms, do school online. I'm staying here, and I'm going to the damn private school you pushed me into after you bought this place last spring."
"You'll do exactly what I tell you. You're still a child, so..."
"You just told me not to be a child. Can't have it both ways, Mom. I'm 16. 17 in just a few weeks. I've had barely 3 weeks in this new school where I have no friends. I'm not going to sit alone most of the day in a hotel room or a studio or some event center. I can sit alone here after school."
"You're not old enough to stay here alone."
"But I'm old enough to stay alone in some other city while you're signing your new book or DVD, while you're doing interviews or events."
"You're not alone there." Flustered, baffled, Lena dropped down to sit. "I'm a phone call or text away."
"And since Mimi's not going with you because she has 2 kids, she doesn't want to leave for 2 weeks, she's a phone call away. But I'm capable of taking care of myself. If you haven't noticed, I've been doing that for a while now."
"I've made sure you've had everything you could need or want. Don't you take that tone with me, Adrian."
Flustered and baffled, turned to shocked and angry.
"You're getting the best education anyone could want, one that'll get you into the college of your choice. You have a beautiful and safe home. I've worked and worked hard to provide those things for you."
Adrian gave Lena a long, steady look.
"You've worked and worked hard because you're an ambitious woman with a genuine passion. I don't hold that against you. I was happy in public school. I had friends there. Now I'm going to try to be happy and make friends where you planted me. I can't do that if I'm out for 2 weeks.
If you think I'm leaving a teenager alone in New York so she can have parties and screw off from school and go out at all hours, you're very mistaken."
Adrian folded her arms on the table, leaned forward.
"Parties? With who? I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I came close to having a boyfriend last year, but I have to start from scratch there now. Screw off from school? I've been on the honor roll since I was 10. And if I wanted to go out at all hours, I could do that when you're here. You'd never know the difference. Look at me."
Adrian tossed up her hands.
"I'm so responsible, I annoy myself. I've had to be. You preach about balance. Well, I'm going to take some for myself. I'm not getting pulled away from my routine again. I'm not."
"If you're determined not to go, I'll see if your grandparents can have you for a couple weeks."
"I'd love to visit them, but I'm staying here. I'm going to school here. If you don't trust me, have Mimi check on me every day. Bribe one of the doormen to report my comings and goings. I don't care. I'm going to get up in the mornings and go to school. I'm going to come home in the afternoons and do my assignments. I'm going to work out right in there in that very nice home gym you set up. I'll fix myself something to eat or order in. I'm not after parties and sex and drinking till I drop. I'm after a normal start to the school year. That's it."
Lena pushed up, paced over to the wall, and stared at the view of the East River.
You talk like... I've done my best for you, Adrian.
I know.
Her grandmother's words on that long-ago summer came back to her. Your mama does her best, Adrian.
I know,
she repeated.
And you ought to trust me not to do something to embarrass you. If not, then you ought to know I'd never want to upset or disappoint Poppy and Nana. I just want to go to goddamn school.
Lena closed her eyes. She could force it. She was in charge. But at what cost? And for what benefit? I don't want you going out past 9 or leaving the neighborhood unless it's to go to Mimi's in Brooklyn.
If I wanted to go to the movies on a Friday or Saturday night, it might be 10.
Accepted, but you'll check in with me or Mimi in that case. I don't want you letting anyone into the apartment while I'm gone, excepting Mimi and her family. Or Harry. He's going with me, but he may fly back for a day.
I'm not looking for company. I'm looking for stability.
One of us, me, Harry, or Mimi, will phone every night. I won't say when.
Spot checking me?
There's a difference between trusting you to be responsible and taking chances.
Accepted.
The breeze stirred through Lena's hair, the roasted chestnut sweep of it. I thought you enjoyed the travel.
Some of it. Sometimes.
If you change your mind, I'll arrange for you to go to Mimi's or your grandparents, or to fly out to meet me wherever I am. Because she knew her mother would do any of those things, and without too much I told you sewing, Adrian felt something soften inside her.
Thanks, but I'm going to be fine. School's going to keep me busy, and I'm researching colleges. And I've got a project I want to start.
What project?
I have to think about it some more.
At 16, Adrian knew how to evade, and breezily. She also knew how to distract.
Plus, I need to go buy a 5-pound bag of M&Ms, a couple gallons of Coke, 5 or 6 bags of potato chips, you know, basic supplies.
Lena smiled a little. If I thought you meant that, I might knock you out and drag you with me. I have to go. The car is going to be here soon. I'm trusting you, Adrian.
You can.
Lena bent down, kissed the top of Adrian's head. It'll be late here by the time I land in LA, so I won't call. I'll text.
Okay. Have a safe trip and a good tour.
With a nod, Lena started back inside. Something twinged inside her chest when she looked back and saw Adrian had picked up the pen again. She continued to write as if it were any other afternoon. As she started down the stairs to the next level, Lena took out her phone and called Mimi.
Hey, are you on your way?
In a minute. Listen, Adrian's staying here.
She's what?
She made a good case for it. I know it's not what you'd do, but you probably would have thought through booking a national tour on the 3rd week of the new school year. When she's in a new school on top of it. I didn't. Hold a minute. She used her house phone to call downstairs. Hi, Ben. It's Lena Rizzo. If you could send someone up for my bags, please. Thanks. Mimi, I have to trust her. She's never given me a reason not to. And Jesus, she's tougher than I realized, so good for her, I guess. Would you just give her a call later, see how she sounds?
Of course. If she wants to stay here while you're gone, we can make that work.
Her mind's set. If it changes, I guess she'll let you know, but she's determined, and that's that.
Her mother's daughter?
Is she? Lena stopped at a mirror, checked her hair, her face. In looks, yes, she thought. She saw a lot of herself in her daughter. But the rest, maybe she hadn't paid enough attention. Anyway, she'll be fine. Just call or text her now and then.
No problem at all. I'll stay in touch with her and with you.
Sorry, Lena, Mimi added as the shouts blasted through the phone. Jacob's apparently decided to murder his sister again. I have to go, but you have a safe trip, and don't worry. Thanks. Talk soon. When the buzzer rang, she walked to the door and put everything else aside. She had some prep to do on the plane and a full schedule ahead of her. Chapter 4.
Alone in New York, Adrian followed her morning routine. She got up with her alarm, did her morning yoga. She showered, dealt with her hair, always a chore, applied minimal makeup. She'd always had a love affair with makeup. She dressed in the detested school uniform, navy pants, white shirt, navy blazer. Every day she donned the uniform, she vowed never to voluntarily wear a navy blazer after graduation. She put together a breakfast of mixed fruit with Greek yogurt, a slice of 10-grain toast, and juice. Because Mimi had ingrained the habit in her, she did her dishes, made her bed. A quick check of the weather on her phone promised mostly sunny and continued warm, so she didn't bother with a jacket. She shrugged on her backpack and took the penthouse's private elevator down. She couldn't complain about the 5-block walk to school, especially with the weather so fine. She used the time to go over her plan, her deviation from routine, and the single rule laid down she fully intended to break. When her phone rang, she checked the display.
Hi, Mimi.
Just doing my duty.
You can tell Mom when she asks that I was on my way to school when you checked. Of course, instead of going there, I'm going to grab a train to the Jersey Shore and soak up some rays, use my fake ID to buy a bunch of beer, and have lots of sex with strangers in a cheap motel.
Good plan, but I think I'll leave that part out of my report. I know you're fine, honey, but checking in is the right and loving thing to do.
I get it.
Do you want to come here for the weekend?
Thanks, but I'm good. If that changes, you'll find me on your doorstep.
If you need anything, you call me.
I will. Talk soon.
With that done, she put her phone away. She had a backup plan if her first didn't work. But she'd done her research and thought Plan A had real potential. She clipped her ID on the blazer as she walked up the short stone steps to the dignified brownstone that served as a school for grades 9 through 12, if you were rich enough and smart enough. She went inside through the small security vestibule. The quiet, the gleaming wood floor, the pristine walls contrasted with the noise and movement and slight dinge of her old school. She missed it, all of it. 2 years, she reminded herself as she turned away from the wide entrance to the hall on the left. 2 years, and she could make her own choices. She intended to preview that by making one today. By junior year, most of the students had formed their own tribes. Making room for the new girl took time, and she hadn't had a full 3 weeks. She knew those established tribes studied her, sized her up, considered. Though she'd never been shy, Adrian took her time as well. The jocks could make sense for the next couple of years. Sports might not be so much her thing, but athleticism was. The fashionable girls could be fun, as she did love clothes. Another reason to hate the uniform. The party animals didn't interest her any more than the scarily serious eggheads. As always, the group as a whole had scatters of the snobs, the bullies, often intertwined. The nerds were, always, anywhere, deadly to social strata. But for her project, that's exactly where she aimed. She made the choice during lunch period that would almost certainly doom her chances of joining the social hierarchy. In the dining hall, Adrian carried her tray, field green salad with grilled chicken, seasonal fruit, sparkling water, past the table of jocks, away from the fashionable girls, and to the lowest of the rung, the nerd table. She caught the lag in some of the conversational buzz and a few snickers as she paused by the lowly table and its 3 occupants. Since she'd done her due diligence, reading back issues of the school newspaper, combing last year's yearbook, she targeted Hector Sung. Asian, coat hanger thin, square-framed black glasses with dark brown eyes behind them. Those eyes blinked at her now as he stopped in the act of biting into a slice of veggie pizza.
Is it okay if I sit here?
He said. She just smiled and sat across from him.
I'm Adrian Rizzo.
Okay. Hi.
The girl beside him, with skin like caramel cream and a gorgeous head of braids, rolled big, round black eyes. "He's Hector Sung, and he's thinking nobody sits here but us. I'm Tisha Kirk." She jerked a thumb with a thick silver ring to the boy sitting warily and red-faced beside Adrian. "The ginger is Lauren Moorhead, the third. You've got about 5.3 seconds to move before you're infected by nerd germs and permanently ostracized from society." Adrian had done her due diligence on Tisha as well, who'd have ranked with the scarily smart eggheads but for her nerd bones. She preferred Dungeons and Dragons tournaments or Doctor Who marathons to meetings of the National Honor Society or National Merit Scholars.
"Oh, well,"
Adrian shrugged, added a squirt of lemon to her salad, took a delicate bite.
"Guess time's up. So, nice to meet you, Hector, Tisha, Lauren. Anyway, Hector, I've got a proposition for you."
He dropped the pizza onto his plate with a little splat.
"A what?"
"Business proposition. I need a videographer, and since that's your interest, I thought you could help me out with a project."
His gaze darted between his two friends.
"For school?"
"No. I want to do a series of 7 15-minute videos, one for each day of the week. I'd want voiceovers for some of them, real-time audio for others. I thought about setting up like a tripod and camera, just doing it myself, but that's not the look I want."
His gaze finally came back to hers, and she read interest in it.
"What kind of videos?"
"Fitness. Yoga, cardio, strength training, and so on. To put on YouTube."
"Maybe you're messing with us."
She shifted to Lauren. His hair, painfully red and cut close to his head, framed a milk-white freckled face. He had soft blue eyes and a good 15 pounds of extra pudge. She thought she could help him with that if he wanted.
"Why would I? I need somebody to video my segments, and I'll pay $50 for each one. That's $350 for 7. I guess that's negotiable within reason."
"I could think about it. When did you want to start?"
"Saturday morning, sunrise. I want to do segments at sunrise and at sunset. I have a big terrace, and it would work for this."
"I'd probably need assistance."
Adrian ate more salad, considered.
$75 per segment. Split it however you want."
"What time's sunrise?"
Lauren wondered. Before Adrian could speak, because she'd looked it up, Tisha said,
"Sunrise on Saturday, 6:27 a.m. Sunset, 7:20 p.m. EDT.
"Don't ask," Lauren suggested. "She just knows stuff like that."
"Great. You'd need to get there in time to set up and whatever you need to do. I've got my address and what I've outlined, the basic scripts."
Adrian took a thumb drive out of her pocket, set it beside Hector's tray.
"Look it over, think it over, let me know."
"Your mom's the yoga baby lady, right?"
Adrian nodded at Tisha.
"That's right."
"How come you don't have her people do it? She's got her own production company."
"Because this is for me. It's mine. So if you decide to take the job, I'll have you cleared to come up. It'll probably take the whole weekend, maybe longer. I don't know how much post-production time you'd need to get it done, get it up."
"I'll take a look, let you know maybe tomorrow."
Hector offered her a little smile.
"You know, you really are screwed around here now. I hope it's worth it for you."
"Me too."
She got through the rest of the day by ignoring the smirks, the snide comments, and the snickers. When she stepped back out into the air, Hector and his little tribe came after her.
"So, hey, listen, I had a chance to look at some of your outline. Seems doable."
"Great.
I'd want to see the space, though, before committing. Make sure it'll work for what you're after."
"I can show you now if you've got time. I'm only a few blocks from here."
"Now's good."
"We're all going,"
Tisha told her.
"Fine."
"So..."
As he trooped along beside her, Hector shoved up his glasses.
"I took a look at a couple of your mother's videos during my free period. Her production values are total, right? I've got some good equipment, but I'm not going to be able to match what she's got going in the studio."
"I don't want what she's got. I want mine."
"I looked up stuff about her, and you."
Adrian glanced back over her shoulder at Lauren. debate team nerd, she remembered. Always picked last for any team in PE, and first to volunteer for hall monitor.
And?
People are always running scams and stuff, so I wanted to take a look. Your mom seriously killed your dad.
It wasn't the first time someone had prodded her on it, but Adrian had to admit, Lauren hit the most direct.
He wasn't my dad, he was my biological father, and he was trying to kill me at the time.
How come?
Because he was drunk and mean and maybe crazy. I don't know. It was the first and the last I'd seen of him. And since it was almost 10 years ago, it's not relevant to any of this.
Jesus, Lauren, let it go.
Tisha gave him a solid poke with her elbow.
Didn't your uncle do time for insider trading? Well, yeah, but that's a white-collar crime, not...
Said the whitest white boy in white boy history, Tisha tossed back.
Lauren's family's the waspiest of the wasps. 3 generations of high-class, high-priced lawyers.
So he likes to argue,
Adrian said.
You got that. You say up, Lauren's going to say down and go off about it for an hour. Up depends on where you're standing.
Tisha poked him again.
Don't get him started.
Well, we're standing down here, so we're going in, then up. Hi, George.
The doorman gave Adrian a big smile as he opened the door.
How was school today?
Same as always. This is Hector and Tisha and Lauren. They'll be visiting now and again.
All right. You all have a real nice day.
As they crossed the fragrant lobby with its small, exclusive shops, Adrian took out her key swipe. She passed the banks of elevators to one marked Private, Penthouse A.
If you decide to come Saturday, I'll give your names to security and the desk. The desk will call up and I can release the elevator to bring you up.
How high up are you?
Lauren asked as they got on.
48th floor. That's the rooftop level.
Uh-oh,
Tisha murmured as Lauren blanched.
He's got a thing about heights.
Since that hadn't come out in her research on him, she turned to him now with genuine sympathy.
Sorry. You don't have to come out to the terrace.
It's no big.
He stuck his hands in his pockets.
No big. I'm cool on it. I'm cool.
The opposite thereof, Adrian thought, as he already had a little bead of sweat sliding down his right temple. But she let it go. Nobody liked being embarrassed.
Well, anyway, you'd take the other elevator on Saturday, and that would bring you to the main level front door. You need a swipe for this way, then the alarm code.
Tisha wiggled her eyebrows.
Swank.
And Adrian shrugged.
My mother likes swank.
The elevator opened into Lena's home gym. A rack of free weights ran along a mirrored wall, and racks and shelves, stability balls, yoga mats and blocks, exercise bands, jump ropes, medicine balls, and kettlebells flanked it. A huge flat screen dominated the wall over a long, narrow gas fireplace. In the small, open kitchen area, energy drinks filled a wine fridge. A glass front cabinet held Yoga Baby water bottles. A wall of glass doors opened to the expansive terrace and the city beyond.
No machines?
Tisha wandered the space.
Your body's the machine in my mother's world.
Well, organic complexities are different from mechanical complexities. The Terminator had both organic and mechanical complexities,
Lauren pointed out.
We're years from Skynet, Tisha pointed out. Anyway, I get she means you use your body weight, keep it in tune and all that.
Adrian waited a beat.
Right. There's a bathroom around the left of the kitchen if anybody needs it.
Adrian unlocked and pulled open the glass doors.
I want to do the videos out here.
Awesome.
Hector stepped out.
Awesome. We'll want to move the furniture, have a clear space.
He glanced over to the hot tub humming under its cover on a platform.
And turn that off. You get some city noises even way up here, but that'll just add to it. Shoot, this way you get the river in the background.
And the sunrise,
Adrian added.
For the sunset shoots, we go the other way. You could see the Chrysler Building, the Empire State. I'm not sure what's best for late morning or afternoon. I just want different angles.
Yeah. I can maybe hit my dad up for some equipment. Bounce the light. Maybe he'd let me use his good camera.
Hector's dad's a cinematographer.
Lauren spoke from just inside the doorway where he'd stopped and stayed.
He's on Blue Line, the cop show. So is there, like, anything to drink besides that health stuff? Like, you know, sodas?
Banned in this house, but I'll get some for Saturday. There's juice down in the main kitchen.
I'll live without it. Okay, so
Hector did another walk around, studying angles.
Can we do, like, a rehearsal, one segment? Get a solid feel?
Oh, sure. I need to change. I can't work out in this.
How about you do that? Tisha said. Me and Hector can move some of the furniture. Lauren can go out and maybe buy some Cokes.
There's a shop right off the lobby downstairs if you want.
Adrian walked back, dug into her backpack, and took out $10.
On me.
Cool. By the time Adrian had changed into yoga pants and a tank, Hector and Tisha had muscled two tables, two sofas, and a chair to the far side of the terrace. She brought out a yoga mat, angled it so she faced southeast.
I tested this out the other day, and you should be able to get me, the river, sunrise.
I'm gonna video with my camera just to test it. I mean, the light'll be different and all that jazz, but we can check the timing, the angles, and I can plan better.
Great.
She glanced back as the elevator opened. Lauren put her swipe on top of her backpack, then set the bag on the counter in the kitchen.
Got Cokes. Got some chips and stuff.
Adrian thought of her mother and had to laugh.
That would be the first time either of those came into this place since we moved in.
Man, what do you eat?
You mean for snacks?
Adrian smiled at Lauren as he passed out Cokes.
Fruit? Raw veggies? Hummus? Almonds? Baked sweet potato fries are sometimes acceptable. It's not so bad. I'm used to it.
Your mom's way strict.
Fitness and nutrition? That's her religion. She practices what she preaches, so it's hard to bitch too much. Anyway,
she stepped to the front of her mat.
I want to do this, like I said, without the vocals, then voiceover after.
15, right? Tisha pulled out her phone.
I'll time it.
She'd practiced the routine countless times, tweaked it until she felt it met her goals. A gentle and, well, pretty morning salute to the sun. She let her mind go. Since she was used to camera and crew when she did videos with her mother, Hector and the others didn't distract her. When she ended with Shavasana, she added the vocals.
I'm going to talk this part out now so you don't think I've just fallen asleep. The voiceover's going to instruct how to breathe, how to empty the mind, allow the body to fully let go. Relaxing from the toes to the ankles, the shins, and up the body. How to visualize soft colors or light on inhales. Expel dark and stress on the exhales.
You've got like 90 seconds left, Tisha told her.
That's right. I'll say to stay in Shavasana as long as they like. Then
she stretched out, arms overhead, before turning on her side, knees drawn up. Smoothly, she rolled into a cross-legged position on the center of the mat.
Meditation position,
she said, putting her right palm over her left, thumbs touching.
Breathing in and out, blah, blah.
She crossed her arms over her midsection, bowed forward.
Thanking yourself for showing up, holding the practice in, then
she sat up again, put her palms together, bowed her head.
Namaste. That's it.
15 minutes, 4 seconds.
Lips pursed. Tisha nodded.
That's really good.
You're really bendy.
Lauren had edged out onto the terrace to sit on one of the sofas and munch chips.
I can't even touch my toes.
Flexibility's important. The thing is, a flexible person has to go farther than an inflexible one to get any benefit.
She could help him, she thought again.
Stand up. Try to touch your toes.
It's embarrassing.
It's only embarrassing when you don't try.
He gave her a doubtful look, but bent over from the waist, arms down. His fingertips didn't come within 6 inches of his toes.
You're feeling the stretch.
Shit, yeah.
She mimicked his pose.
I get nothing. Nothing until I go all the way down.
She stretched down, palms on the floor, nose to her knees.
We're getting the same benefit. Stand up, Now inhale. No, when you inhale, you're inflating the balloon. Fill your lungs. Extend the belly.
Mine's extended 24/7.
He laughed with it. So did the others. Adrian only smiled.
Just try it. Inhale. Fill the balloon. Now you're going to deflate it, drawing the belly to the spine as you bend over to touch your toes.
When he tried it, she nodded.
And that's already a full inch closer. Breathing. It's all about the breath.
She glanced over, saw Hector leaning against the wall studying his camera display.
How does it look?
It's okay. I can study it and work out the angles. I can talk my dad into letting me use some stuff. You're going to need to be mic'd for the other stuff, and you need like an introduction or opening bit, right?
Yeah, I've been working on it. Oh, thanks.
She took the Coke Tisha handed her, drank without thinking. Then stopped, closed her eyes.
Okay, that's so freaking good.
I've got about 20 before I have to get home.
Hector switched off the video.
Maybe we could go over the opening and the transitions between each segment. We could storm the brain tomorrow.
Lauren tried another toe touch.
At lunch period, if you want to risk sitting with us 2 days in a row.
I'll risk it.
By the time they left and Adrian disposed of empty Coke bottles and chip bags, she realized she hadn't just found the production team for her pet project. She'd found her tribe. They brainstormed at lunch, rehearsed, and worked on details after school. On Friday evening, she ordered pizza, stocked drinks. She helped her crew set up the equipment Hector scored. The light stand and barn doors and gels for evening shoots, the bounce, the umbrella for afternoons, the mic, the cables. They managed to set up a makeshift studio with what Hector had begged or borrowed. They ate pizza in the main level dining room with Lauren's playlist of 80s hits rocking out. With Wham demanding to be waked up, Adrian finally had to ask,
"Why the 80s?
Why not?
Because none of us were born?"
He pointed a finger.
"That's a why, not a why not. It's history, dude. Music history. I'm thinking of doing one of the 90s next, you know, to analyze the societal fabric, where music plays into it, during our birth decade."
"That is totally nerd."
"Accepted."
He bit into another slice.
"I dig on music, man."
"The music man," Tisha said between bites. "Robert Preston, Shirley Jones, the movie version, 1962. Preston also played the lead in the 1957 Broadway production with Barbara Cook as Marion."
"How do you know that?"
Adrian stared in wonder.
"And why?"
"She reads it, she remembers it,"
Hector supplied.
"Hey, I should do a playlist of Broadway musical scores. Now that is total nerd." "You get right on that, son."
Hector glanced around.
"This is an awesome space."
"Says the kid who lives in a mansion every other week and a penthouse not unlike this one the next."
Tisha gulped some Coke. Hector just shrugged.
"Parents split, so I bounce between. Step-parents are okay so far. And I got a little bro from the dad, little sis from the mom. They're cool."
"I used to want siblings. I had to get over it because that's never happening. What about you?"
Adrian asked Tisha.
"Two older brothers and parents stuck together like glue. The brothers are mostly okay except when they're pains in my ass."
"Sister."
Lauren peeled a pepperoni off the pizza, popped it into his mouth.
"She's 10. Parents separated for a few months back when. Worked it out, got back together, and out popped Princess Rosalind. Kind of a brat."
"Kind of?"
Tisha said with a laugh.
"Okay, a complete brat, but she's way spoiled, so it's not her fault so much. You got the only child deal,"
he said to Adrian.
"All the attention."
"My mother's career gets that, and I get what's left." "That's okay," she said quickly. "It means she's not on my back most of the time. And I'm going to have my own career. You guys are helping me start that."
"And when you're a YouTube star,"
Tisha heaved a big, exaggerated sigh, "we'll still be the three nerds while you sit at the cool kids' table."
"Not a chance. And since it's the nerd table for me for the duration, I should be an honorary nerd."
No honorary about it. You are a nerd, Hector told her. You drink carrot juice and eat granola on purpose. Your mom's gone for a couple weeks, but you're working instead of running on the wild side. You're the fitness nerd.
She'd never considered herself a nerd by any standards, but when she'd finished her bedtime yoga practice and slipped under the covers by 10, she realized the term applied. And she really didn't mind.
Chapter 5. They started before dawn on Saturday morning. Adrian had what she called craft services set up with juices, bagels, fresh fruit, and, since she'd learned all three of her friends went for fancy coffee, a pod coffee maker with a variety. She'd have to store that in her room afterward, as Lena ran a strict no-caffeine household. Pleased with the first segment, the light had been perfect. She went down to change her gear, maybe her hair, before starting the next. Tisha went with her as wardrobe assistant. If it surprised Tisha that Adrian stripped down to the skin without a blush once the bedroom door closed, she tried to pretend otherwise.
I was going to see if I can get my hair pinned back, but unless I spray it with concrete, it probably won't stay through 15 of cardio dance.
Tisha pursed her lips as Adrian wiggled into sleek, snug, mid-calf leggings. Why don't you braid the sides? Pin those back.
Braids?
Adrian pulled on a matching blue sports bra.
With this hair?
Hey, I got black girl hair. You see these braids? I can do it. What product you got?
Adrian slipped a bright pink tank over the bra. And since she'd choreographed a hip-hop-influenced routine, she'd tie a plaid hoodie around her waist and wear high tops.
All of them out of desperation and despair.
Sit down, girlfriend. I got this.
And she did. Adrian stared in the mirror, awed with the results.
I can't believe it. It's a miracle. It looks cute and, you know, funky, but contained. You're going to have to teach me.
Can do.
Tisha smiled into the mirror.
It's nice, you know, having another girl join the club. I got me some balance now. You know, Riz, maybe you can teach me some of the yoga stuff. It looks like fun.
It is fun. I'll teach you.
The cardio dance segment was fun, too. It took 3 takes before she and the others signed off, with Lauren working the audio, Hector the camera, and Tisha moving between both. By the time the lunch she'd ordered in arrived, they had 3 segments. They fit in 2 more before the dinner break and finished the day with the evening yoga at sunset.
I didn't think we could get so much done in one day. That only leaves the total body session, the voiceovers, and the introduction.
Adrian flopped down on one of the outdoor sofas.
Maybe I'll work in a 10-minute ab bonus.
I'm going to burn a copy, Hector decided. I want to play around a little.
Like how?
Just try some stuff. No problemo if it doesn't work. We've got the master. How about we start at like 10 tomorrow? We keep up this pace, it's done by 1 or 2. Some production, editing, la-di-da. We get it up by the end of the week. If we need to reshoot anything, we can work that in, but I think we're good.
That would be amazing.
By the time they left, ravaging through any lunch and dinner leftovers, it neared midnight. Adrian stretched out in bed and smiled into the dark. She had friends. She had work. She had a path. And she knew just where she intended to go on it. They rolled right into it with Adrian doing the intro first so she wouldn't get sweaty or need another change. She looked right into the camera, the city at her back.
Hi, I'm Adrian Rizzo, and this is About Time.
She slid into her spiel, highlighting each segment, emphasizing the 15-minute length, the ability to do one, do a combination.
You're good at this, Hector told her. I hang with my dad sometimes when he's shooting. The actors never, hardly ever, get it in one take.
I practiced a lot.
It was solid, but let's do a second take, just back up, and you could move around more. I'll follow you.
They wrapped the video by noon. They had to drag the furniture back into place before they set up in the quietest spot in the triplex, her mother's dressing room.
Wow.
Wide-eyed, Tisha wandered the ruthlessly organized room.
Your mom's got some awesome clothes. I thought my mother had the duds, but yours beats her to hell and back squared. There's like,
her gaze tracked back and forth,
100 pairs of shoes.
26 athletic shoes.
Nice colors.
It used to be when she did a video or an appearance, they'd give her the workout clothes and shoes she wears in them. They get credit on the DVD and she gets the gear. Now she has her own line.
And so would she, Adrian thought. One day. Adrian stood in the center of the room, Hector's laptop open on a shelf in front of her and queued up to the first yoga segment.
The mic has a pop filter,
Hector told her as he fixed it to the stand.
So you don't, like, pop your peas and all that shit. Dad let me borrow it. And the headphones. Everybody's going to wear a pair and be, like, totally silent. You got a fart, you hold it in. Lauren's on sound. He starts the recording, I give you the signal, I start the video, you start talking.
Got it.
She put on her headphones, took some slow, easy breaths. When Hector swiped a finger through the air toward her, she began.
Morning sun salutation. Stand at the top of your mat.
When she finished with a namaste, Hector waited a moment, then gave Lauren the cut signal.
That was freaking perfect. Tell me you got it all, Lauren, because that was freaking on. Sounds good. It's really quiet in here. All inside walls. And she, you, Adrian, sounded like soothing.
Then the plan worked. Can we go ahead and do the sunset one since we're on a roll?
Fucking A, Hector told her, and set it up.
At the end, Lauren pulled off his headphones, shot up both thumbs.
Dudes, we got the gold! We need to play them back, make sure everything worked like my dad said it would. Any screw-ups, he said I could call him and he'd walk us through.
He sounds nice,
Adrian said.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Let's take it downstairs.
Blowing out a breath, Adrian rolled her shoulders.
Sit down, spread out, check it out.
And order pizza.
She looked over at Lauren.
We had pizza Friday.
Rising from her seat on the floor, Tisha angled her head.
Your point?
Okay, I'll order up pizza.
She'd stocked Cokes and knew she had to have any evidence of them out of the apartment before her mother's return. She worried a little she'd developed an attachment to them that wouldn't be so easy to break. But as she sat slouched next to Tisha on the sofa while Hector queued up the video, she decided it was worth it. It was all worth it.
You're sure I sound okay? Not boring?
Calm, Tisha said. You got the calm down, Riz.
Soothing,
Hector said at the same time.
Do the cues really work? Wait, let's find out. I'm going to get a couple mats. Tisha and Lauren can do the practice.
What? I can't do that stuff.
Adrian spared Lauren a glance as she jogged up the stairs.
How do you know? And I'll show you how to modify. Then Hector and I can do the sunset segment.
Hector opened his mouth to protest, but she'd already jogged up to the third floor.
I can't do that stuff,
Lauren repeated, his head tick-tocking between his friends.
I could puke, or maybe break something.
Don't be such a dumbass.
Tisha got up when Adrian ran back down with the mats.
This is just what we need to make sure. Test out the segments. I should have thought of it before. Let's take it out on the terrace. Fresh air, plenty of room.
I'm game.
Tisha marched over, opened the doors to the main level terrace.
Come on, Lauren. Don't be a wuss.
If I puke, it's not my fault. And I could get, like, vertigo from the height.
Vertigo, 1958. Alfred Hitchcock classic starring Jimmy Stewart and Kim Novak. Tisha shrugged.
I saw it on TV.
Lauren didn't puke, but he did groan a lot, and flushed hot pink whenever Adrian moved to him, adjusted his stance or position with hands on his hips or shoulders.
It's working,
Adrian murmured to Hector.
I can see it's working. They're both total beginners, but they can follow the cues. Just need help with alignment. Need practice. But that's what yoga is. It's continual practice, so pizza, I'll get it.
Thrilled, Adrian grabbed the money she'd set on the table inside and danced her way to the door.
then froze when she opened it.
Pizza party?
Harry Reese, Lena's publicity director, held two pizza boxes. His left eyebrow arched up the way it did when he was being sarcastic or amused, or both. As always, he looked trim and stylish in black jeans, a black leather jacket with a pale gray t-shirt, and low black boots.
Harry, I didn't think you were back until...
He angled his head.
Until it was safe?
No, and it's not a party. It's work.
Uh-huh.
He stepped inside the foyer, 6 feet of handsome with perfectly styled brown hair, clever brown eyes, and a face her grandmother once said had been chiseled by skilled and magic elves.
It is. You can see for yourself.
She took the pizza boxes.
My friends and co-workers.
She gestured to the glass doors through which she could still see Tisha and Lauren trying to do the segment, and Hector grinning at them. She also saw, as he did, the Coke bottles, the bag of chips, the pairs of sneakers, somebody's hoodie, scattered over the living area.
Did she send you to check up on me?
No. I came home for a couple days because Lena has this afternoon and all day tomorrow off, and I wanted to deal with some things. And I wanted to see Marsh. I ran into the pizza guy downstairs. I took care of it.
Thanks.
Marshall Tucker and Harry had been together for 3 years, and though she adored them both, Adrian still cursed the timing.
Going to introduce me to your friends?
Sure. Listen, Harry...
I'm not going to bust you for having friends over, unless I discover you're holding sex orgies and didn't invite me.
As if. We're working, I swear. I had a project and they've helped me put it together.
Maybe her stomach jittered as she crossed to the doors, but she did her best to radiate confidence as she pulled them open.
Hey guys, let's pause it. This is Harry. He's my mother's publicity director.
Maybe they could have looked more guilty, but Harry figured they'd have needed to work on it.
How's it going? Outdoor yoga with a pizza chaser sounds pretty good.
Harry, this is Hector and Tisha and Lauren. We go to school together.
So she'd made friends already. Which he considered a positive, as he'd argued on her behalf when Lena decided to transfer her in her junior year.
We've been working on a video,
Adrian continued.
Hector's a videographer. His father let us borrow some equipment.
Yeah?
Harry moved toward the laptop.
What kind of video?
A 7-segment fitness video. We're going to put it up on YouTube.
For school?
No, not for school.
Does this mean I can stop?
Lauren pushed at his hair.
I'm getting sweaty.
Harry walked around the table to look at the laptop screen where Adrian, on pause, held in Warrior II with the sun rising over the river at her back.
Wow, that's great light.
It's the first 15-minute segment, the morning sun salutation. We were just trying it out.
Don't let me stop you. Hector?
Hector, who'd very carefully said nothing, shoved his glasses up his nose and nodded.
Yes, sir. Jesus, let's not do the sir thing. How about pushing play? Sure.
Continue to gaze over your right hand as you turn it, palm up, then raise your right arm up. Looking up to your palm, lowering your left arm down the back of your left leg as you move into reverse warrior.
I'm getting a Coke. Anybody want a Coke?
Tisha gave Lauren the bug eye and said,
Shh. What? I'm thirsty. Got enough for the whole class?
Harry asked as he continued to watch Adrian on screen.
Wouldn't mind one myself. And the pizza smells good. A slice is the price for my silence.
I'll get plates and stuff,